This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Chad Daybell's defense attorney, John Pryor, he's looking for more time. And, well, not surprising. Just a couple months ago, he told the judge that he wanted to withdraw and that he wasn't qualified to represent him. Chad Daybell, on a death penalty case, the judge kind of said, "How did you not realize that up until now? You're going to be there. You signed up, and this is your case." So he is. A new motion, though, been filed for more time on evidence that he claims is new or could be omitted from the trial, which is scheduled to start in Boise on April 1st. Not very long from now. The countdown clock is on. Some of the new findings indicate that Pryor believes that he needed time for experts to review some of the pieces. The report relies on emails from Lori Vallow, Daybell's late brother, Alex Cox, who shot and killed Lori's ex-husband, Charles Vallow. What exactly are in these emails that they need more time to take a look at is anyone's guess. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Robin, again, just another ploy to, here's something. Let's see if this gets us a little more time. Is it throwing whatever they can at the wall and seeing what sticks?
So a few things on this one. I think the evidence and the emails that they have to examine, I think the delay based on that might be reasonable. Mm-hmm. So from my take of the way I read it in a few of the reportings, it looks like the FBI was doing analysis on those emails. So most likely BAU's behavioral analysis units at Quantico. And so those are experts that prosecution is going to have. And so in order for defense to be able to counter those in any way, if they're negative, they're going to want to bring their own statement analysis experts. And so finding those people willing to do that and researching that and then getting some conclusions on that, that does take a bit of time. And so, again, I don't know how long, but that's a reasonableness to ask for a delay, maybe. But I think you're kind of going to the initial impression the entire thing is Chad's screwed.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you going to garner from these emails? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I look at it and I'm like, I'm going to read some emails. Okay. You can kind of glean what's coming off of these emails. How many people need to look at these emails to say, here's what this means, or that's going to make any sort of impact in a trial because somebody said, I don't know. I mean, the jury's going to read the emails. I mean, does it really matter what someone's going to interpret the emails as if they're going to get to see them anyhow? At the end of the day, it's the jury's choice to read this and go, yes, this here's what I get out of it.
All right. So again, I'm not the legal guy. I'm not a lawyer guy. I don't speak lawyerese.
Yeah.
I love because I'm a human behavior guy, and I'm always looking at the impact of things on human behavior, especially as the impact it would be as me if I'm sitting there in the jury box. And to me, and I hate chuckling when there's such horrible cases we're looking at, but the behavior just becomes comical, graphically horrible comical in some cases, and his is one of them. I think the best defense he can have based on the data points we have is to own the behavior. I mean, they got him. I mean, Lori's already in jail for it and, forever. Own it. So if he said, I'm a horrible person, I did it, I'm guilty, but here's some bad choices I made in my life. Mm-hmm. Lori and this lawyer, I've been screwed. And, so if he owns his behavior and plays you always got to be careful when you play a victim card because you can come across as whiny and not accountable for your behaviors. But I think if he owns his actions and says that, hey, I was manipulated because I'm a soft, horrible individual. Lori manipulated me. This lawyer is not serving me well. And when you play it out before a jury, and a judge, where, because all people are looking for, especially if they already think you're guilty, I know you're not supposed to on a jury or anything, but believe me, I mean, as anyone's ever served on a jury, you go in with a preconceived notion. You're always going to listen to jury instructions. You're going to hear the data and all the testimony and things like that. But especially if you have any knowledge of the fact that Lori's been convicted, and it's hard not to. I mean, they'll search the best they can to get, an unbiased jurist, but you're going to have some preconceived notion when you're going in there as you take in more data. The best thing you could do is to garner the emotional input, you know, the emotionality of people.
Yeah.
And if you go in there and you only have a thread like that, I would grab onto that thread if I was him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know what unearthly defense is going to be. I don't think John Pryor really knows what his defense is going to be either. I think that's why we're sitting here and either just kind of grasping at anything they possibly can.
What can you do? I mean, literally, your spouse was just convicted of it. What defense can you possibly offer?
I mean, short of these emails saying, Alex and Lori and Charles, and look, I'm Alex. I'm doing all this stuff. Chad has no idea. Let's make sure he doesn't ever know anything about this.
Right.
Short of that being in the emails, I don't see them being helpful. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, maybe shows that Alex, you got to say Alex outside of him, that Alex maybe, you know, played a larger role in this than I don't know, other people may have thought. But, you know, it's certainly, I'm sure will show an involvement of Chad, but maybe they're just trying to nip at any little thing they can, because probably right now at the end of the day, the goal is not innocence. It's let's not get him the death penalty.
Yeah. And when you think about that, so play forward your extreme hypothesis of the best case scenario for Chad of what could be in these emails is that, you know, he didn't do it. He had nothing to do with it. Let's keep it from him.
Yeah.
That would be such an outlier from that arc.
Yes, exactly.
That it wouldn't be believable.
No, fake email.
So either way, like you said, either way, there's such a preponderance of other data points in this arc of his involvement that it's, I'm with you. It's like, why, you're not going to get a delay because it's stupid.
The only other thing that runs through my mind is that, you know, John Pryor is on over his head. He knows that he is. He's pretty much flat out said that. You know, is he doing, you know, basically vigorously defending his client by throwing himself under the bus here at this point of, look, I'm not prepared. I need more time here. I mean, it's some of it's just normal lawyer stuff, but is the strategy simply, I know I'm not going to be able to do much here. So let's create a lot of appellate issues at the end of the day so he can come back and he can do another round, maybe with someone who's a bit more qualified than him.
Yeah, maybe it'd be good to know what's going on in his head. You know, is he trying to do it for his client, or is he trying to preserve his own reputation, his own career?
Yeah,
and where in that dichotomy is he lying on it right now? Don't know. It'll be interesting.
It certainly.
Want to listen ad free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.